Well, we're going to pick back up over in Romans 15. And Paul has been here in this particular section after he addressed the saints there and his confidence in them and so forth, speaking of his own ministry and God's call upon his life. Through it all, we note, you know, Paul's dependency on the Lord and giving unto the Lord, you know, all the glory, for it's only due to him. And we left off around verse 17 where Paul was speaking of these things, and on into verse 18, I guess. Paul said, I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ. And those things which pertain to God. Paul doesn't glory himself or in the things of the flesh, but specifically he glories in those things which pertain to God, and only those things through Jesus Christ. And we rightly may glory only in the things that pertain to God through Jesus Christ. Those things are not of our own, they're all of him. Now, our redemption, our conversion, our sanctification, like one song we read there about, you know, he gives us repentance and faith. You know, our calling, whatever office of ministry we may have obtained, the relationships we have in life, and the results of the ministries, as Paul had already spoken of, how the saints to whom whom God had called under the ministry of Paul, you know, were the doing of God, and it's all through Christ, or it's all by Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, "By the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." Paul gives all the glory to God. And Paul says, I can glory in those things which pertain to God. And we think in Paul's life, you know, was the preaching of the gospel ministry. His admonition that he's given to the saints here in Rome. The worship of God is, you know, as they come together before him. The observances of the ordinances of the church. Those things which pertain to God. You know, but what does pertain to God? You know, I think, again, from the Christian perspective, it's everything. You know, he deserves the glory for it. And of a truth, all things pertain to him. You know, I think about this often. You know, we're tempted to say and talking with folks about, you know, the secular and the sacred, you know, for lack of other terms. But, you know, for the Christian, all ground is holy ground. We're in service to him 24/7, literally. And all ground's holy ground. And it's all to the glory of God. And that's the chief end of man, as we've spoken of previously. Paul continues in on this same vein in verse 18. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. I'll not dare speak of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me. Now all of our accomplishments apart from the things that are wrought by Christ are of no real significance and of no lasting significance. Those things we get so brought up about. You know, I think, you know, what difference? What difference are they, most of them, going to make in a month, much less 10 years or eternity? You know, but there are some things that are going to make a difference for eternity. And Paul says, I dare not speak, or I dare not, you know, glory, if you will, in those things that he'd said in the previous verse that are of no real or lasting significance. Those things that are not wrought by Christ, and that word wrought there speaks of something that's worked fully. That's completely performed. And when he says wrought by Christ, it's not like, you know, Christ was helping me. No, Christ did it. It was worked out by Christ. It was worked fully by Christ. And essentially, Paul here again is a condemnation of any kind of fleshly boasting that perhaps we're all inclined to at times, and perhaps you've even seen from time to time amongst God's saints or even amongst God's ministers. The Proverbs tells us, the Proverbs 25:14, whosoever boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. You know, folks that talk so much about their own abilities, and they have none. Anything that's not wrought by Christ is worthless. I think we perhaps closed last time in particular Philippians, where Paul says in Philippians 3:8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Everything else is just like a pile of dung. It means nothing. But as I said, I was contemplating that old saying, only one life, 'twill soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. But Paul's going beyond that here. There's a deeper truth. Only one life, 'twill soon be Christ passed. Only what's done by Christ will last. Because we really can't do anything for him on our own, or of our own. It's wrought by Christ. Paul says, you know, I dare not even mention those things that aren't wrought by Christ, that weren't done by Christ. And so the emphasis here is on Christ and on Christ alone. Not our own strength, not our own abilities, not our own talents. In Galatians, Paul says in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, also, you know, we're crucified with Christ, yet we live. And it's not us, but Christ that lives. He says, which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not simply faith in him, but his faith. Again, that faith isn't ours. It's his. Even what faith we have, we can't glory in our faith. It came from him. It's his. There's no room for boasting, you know, for trash talk amongst God's servants and amongst his saints. At the very best, we're only instruments. Christ is the efficient cause of any good that may be done by his servants. And I'm even hesitant to say, you know, we have anything, you know, to leave it at saying, well, at the very best we're instruments. Because if we are instruments, those instruments were fashioned by him. You know, to say, well, you know, I'm an instrument that's used of him. You know, the instrument boasts and say, well, look at me, you know, I'm a pretty good instrument. No, you're not. He made you that instrument. You know, that passage we're very familiar with, but if we look at it a little bit closer in Ephesians 2, where Paul says in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And then he goes on in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Even the instrument, we're his workmanship. So at the very best, we're instruments, and it's not like, well, he found a good instrument. He made the instrument. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's all his doing. Unto him be all the glory. If it's not wrought by Christ, it's not even worth mentioning. In fact, Paul says, I dare not mention it. And so all that follows, all the results of Paul's ministries, we say Paul's ministries are really Christ's ministries, all that's accomplished needs to be understood in that light. Now Paul set that groundwork, and as he continues on in this particular verse, he says, to make the Gentiles obedient. So he says, I dare not speak of those things that are not wrought of Christ. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ and those things which pertain to God. For I will dare not speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. This was the ministry that was given to Paul. This was what was accomplished by God through Paul. This is how that instrument Paul was used to make the Gentiles obedient. Christ determined to use Paul to bring his people from amongst the Gentiles unto himself. It wasn't Paul, it was Christ. To make the Gentiles obedient. And again, we can relate to that. These were folks who had been brought up with no knowledge of the true God, who lived lives in disobedience to his commands, had no knowledge of his specific commands, folks who were raised in paganism and idolatry. These would be brought to submission and to obedience by the Holy Spirit as he granted them life. And as Paul was used to proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles, that they might hear the gospel of their salvation, to make the Gentiles obedient. And obedience is shown by submission to his commands, by submission to his ordinances. Thus is, you know, our obedience shown. And the Lord gave the commission to his church in Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And some of we get overwrought in these things sometimes, you know, talking about, you know, church authority and so forth. Listen, it's Christ's authority. it's what's wrought by Christ. He says, all power, all exousia, literally all authority, is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't say, abrogate my authority. He said, I have all authority. And based on that, now you go. Teaching them, he says, to observe, or to be obedient, if you will, to all those things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So as Paul proclaimed the gospel of their salvation, he proclaimed as well, and it was manifested their obedience to the commands of Christ, to the will of Christ. In Acts 26, verse 20, we read, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. They repent and turn to God and do works that are meet for repentance. Works that are appropriate for, that reflect repentance, that show forth repentance. I mean, how do you demonstrate your repentance? It's by showing forth the works that repentance brings forth. true obedience unto Christ is in word and in deed. And so Paul continues here. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. The word and deed of Paul and the word and deed as well of his recipients. In his preaching and in his life, God used Paul to call his elect to himself. And the Lord would have us to be so consistent in our word and in our life, in our word and our deeds. Not like, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees that he dealt with. Remember the Lord during his earthly ministry in Matthew 23 and verse 1 said, Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. The Pharisees, the scribes, set Moses. See, they, you know, as they set forth what was in the book, the Lord said, that's right, that's true. He said, but don't do like they do. For they say and do not. And so Paul sought to, and it was manifested as well in the recipients of that gospel, the obedience to Christ by word and by deed. And well, that's what we ought to strive for. Paul was able to say this in 1 Corinthians, and you know, to my discredit, I can't always say this. But Paul was able to say in 1 Corinthians 11:1, Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. You know, not to be like parents are sometimes want to say, you know, do what I say and not what I do. Paul said, no. He says, follow me, just like I'm following Christ. I've heard this expression. I looked it up. I don't know that it had a background before this. Not necessarily one of my favorite people, but Ralph Waldo Emerson said, maybe someone before him said it first. I don't know. More and more you look at some of these quotes, they go back and different people picked them up, and who knows where they originated. Of course, a lot of the quotes that they apply to that tyrant Lincoln, really he took from the Bible even, and, you know, plagiarized them. It wasn't like he was trying to quote scripture. I mean, that's a different aspect. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. Oh, Ralph Waldo, I got off track. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, Your actions speak so loudly that I cannot hear what you say. You know, your actions speak so loudly I can't hear a word that you're saying. Now, Paul says that the Gentiles might be obedient by word and deed. By word and deed. And then Paul continues on to something rather interesting, and we'll have to elaborate on this a little bit more later. As he speaks of his own ministry, the words and deeds of his own life, he says, Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. He says, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. Now, as we look at the scriptures, there certainly were times in the past where God used mighty signs and wonders. At times through his prophets, at times through his apostles. But I want to look at, and I won't have time to look at it in detail today, but You know, did those signs and wonders of themselves draw men to Christ? No. We'll look at example upon it where they did not draw men to Christ. They drew men to oppose Christ. They drew men to seek financial gain. They drew men to anger. They, you know, all sorts of things. The mighty signs and wonders were a demonstration of God's choice upon these men. But alone, they accomplished nothing. So that's why Paul says here, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. Many amongst the Gentiles were drawn during the ministry of Paul. They weren't all drawn. They weren't even the majority drawn by signs and wonders. There were many who observed the signs and wonders, who rejected. So it's not the signs and wonders that accomplish things of themselves. Apart from the work of the Spirit, even the miracles that are wrought of God have no spiritual benefit. And so, you know, men sometimes, even in some religious circles, they're seeking after signs and they're seeking after wonders. That's not what it's about. Though the Lord may deign at time to use such. The preaching of the gospel to the Gentiles and even the working of signs and wonders are only made effective through the work of the Spirit. They're not made effective because of some powerful preacher or because of some wonderful sign or miracle, but by the ultimate miracle, if you will, the work of the Holy Spirit upon the life, upon the heart, upon the spirit of man. And Paul's, you know, careful in setting these things forth, and we'll look at them, Lord willing, next week as we come together. But I think it's important for us, you know, with Paul, to realize whatever's been wrought, whatever some men may look upon as accomplishments, unless it's wrought by Christ, it means nothing. It's not what I've done, it's what He's done. And even if we be instruments, He fashioned those instruments. And so none of the glory belongs to us. And it all belongs to Him. And may we seek to be used of Him, but in it may we be careful to ever give the glory to Him. Let's take our hymnals and we'll sing a closing hymn together. Number 299, Cleanse Me. We'll stand and sing this closing hymn. 299.
Thou wilt supply our need. Oh, blessing now, O Lord, I humbly plead.
Heavenly Father, we thank thee again for this day. Lord, I thank you for each one that's here. The Lord, the way that you use us to encourage and minister to one another. Lord, as we feel the absence of one member as they're not with us, rejoice and being together. And Father, when we think of the fellowship of the saints beyond our imaginations, what you have in store for your people, Lord, I pray you help us to be as Paul and to ever be careful to give the glory to thee. And to realize, Lord, that whatever is accomplished in our lives is whatever is accomplished that's of any benefit is that which is wrought by Christ, is done by Him. And Lord, if you're pleased to use us as instruments, that you first formed those instruments. Lord, unto you be all the glory. Father, when we think of our Savior, His everlasting love, His atonement for His people, these things are marvelous beyond our comprehension. Lord, we pray for our brothers in the ministry and for our sister churches. Lord, we're ever cognizant that whatever we are, whatever any of us are, it's by your grace. And Lord, may our lives be that which reflect glory upon thee. Father, go with us in this coming week and use us each as you see fit. Mold us and shape us into the instruments that best fit for your service. Lord, I pray for all those we've mentioned previous that need your healing hand, for those that are seeking to faithfully serve thee, Lord, for they're lost sheep that you've not yet brought to yourself. Lord, we thank thee for the confidence that we can have in your sovereignty. In spite of troubled conditions that seem to surround us, that seem to abound, Lord, to know that you're yet working your perfect will. Thank you, Lord, for that love that spanned in eternity. Thank you for our Savior and His atoning death. It's in His precious name that we pray. Amen.